so I want to begin by reading those. So we'll begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And again, the subject matter comes from the Shorter Catechism question and answer 37, which deals with the benefits of our salvation at our death. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 through 26. And we are assured that the last great enemy that will be destroyed by Christ will be death. So hear the word of God. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in its own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Now turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Just one verse. Philippians 1, 21. Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now keep going to the book of Hebrews chapter 2. I don't have this reference in your bulletin, but we'll read one verse from chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 14. The writer's talking about the necessity of Christ's humanity, how it was necessary for him to take on flesh. And he says in verse 14, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil." Now Hebrews chapter 12, part of our text from this morning, verses 22 through 24. "But you have come to Mount Zion, into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel." And then just go back one page to Hebrews 11, verse 40. He's just given a list of the heroes of the faith, men and women who lived and died by faith. And notice how he unites us with them in verse 40. He says, "God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us." Now back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 and 14. Paul says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." And then one more reading from Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. May the Lord again bless the reading and the preaching of His Word to us. And so we come this evening to question and answer 37 of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And just, it's always helpful to remember where we have come from and where we're going. So remember, question 36 dealt with the benefits that we receive now in this life. Question 36 asks, what are the benefits which in this life do accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification? And the answer, the benefits which in this life do accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification are assurance of God's love, peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Ghost, increase of grace, and perseverance therein to the end. And so last time we looked at those five benefits that we receive in this life. And then question 37 deals with the benefits that we receive at our deaths. And then following that, question 38 deals with the benefits that we receive from Christ at the resurrection. And so you see how those three questions go together. But for this evening, question 37, what benefits do believers receive from Christ at death? And the answer, the souls of believers are at their death made perfect in holiness and do immediately pass into glory, and their bodies, still being united to Christ, do rest in their graves until the resurrection. Now, for some time now, the writer of Hebrews has been putting before us the Christian life as an endurance race. And he has, in no uncertain terms, told us that this race is agonizing and difficult. Christian life is not easy. And question and answer 37 teaches us that part of crossing the finish line in this race involves dying. In other words, death is the last agonizing obstacle that you encounter in the race of faith. Death is when you achieve full and final victory in Jesus Christ. And you'll notice in all the passages, well, not all of them, but most of the passages we read, how the benefits that we receive are directly tied to our union with Christ and His resurrection from the dead. We learned in that passage from 1 Corinthians 15 that death is the last great enemy that Jesus will destroy. And so, for us, our Savior has made even death, the worst possible thing that can happen to us. He has made that an occasion upon which we say, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? And so the death of a saint is a doorway into even greater benefits, greater blessings of salvation than we have ever known in this life. John Calvin wrote, quote, Christ took death, which in the hands of Satan was a pathway into hell, and turned it into a pathway into glory. And indeed, Paul declares in that very simple statement, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And as we read in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, Christ took on flesh. He became partakers of our nature in order that He might die. And it was through His death that He destroyed him who had the power of death. And so death for the believer is a doorway to new benefits. And so what are the benefits that we receive at our death? You notice that the Catechism lists three basic benefits that immediately become ours at our death. First of all, our sanctification is completed. Second, our spatial distance from Christ is ended. And finally, we rest from our battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so all of these are tied to one another, and thus ultimately they form one single glorious status that we arrive at when we die. And so we'll just use those three benefits to structure our thoughts for this evening. So first of all, the Catechism tells us that the souls of believers are at their death made perfect in holiness. In other words, your sanctification is completed. It's brought to its end. Remember, the goal of our sanctification is that we will be made perfect in holiness. And immediately at our death, our souls will finally reach that goal. The glorious work of the Holy Spirit within us will finally be complete. This means that at death, you will be holy, perfect, and righteous, just as Christ is. In the moment we pass away, we become part of that great assembly that we read about this morning, the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to spirits of just men made perfect. So we experience that assembly now by faith. But at our death, we will experience it actually and fully. Now, A.A. Hodge notes three ways in which our sanctification is consummated or completed at death. First, it's completed by the power of the Holy Spirit, who applies the redemption purchased by Christ in all of its stages. In other words, the same Holy Spirit who applied the work of Christ in your salvation will also apply it in your sanctification, even at your death. Second, our sanctification is consummated at death by the removal of our diseased and mortal body and the lust of the flesh that goes along with it. And finally, our sanctification is completed by the change of our environment. We're taken out of this evil world and brought into heaven. And so this is the first benefit that you receive at death. Your sanctification will reach its goal. You will be made perfect in holiness. Now next, the Catechism says that being made perfect in holiness, that our souls do immediately pass into glory. In other words, the spatial distance between us and Christ is ended. The Scriptures teach that death brings about a temporary separation of soul and body. And we call this the intermediate state, because salvation is not yet complete. It's intermediate because it's not final. After death, we still await the resurrection of our mortal bodies. We await their change to immortal celestial bodies. But at the point of our death, we are immediately separated from our decaying bodies made perfect in holiness, and passed directly into glory. And so there is no such thing as soul sleep. There is no such thing as purgatory. It is at the moment of death that we immediately begin to experience the actual presence of God in Christ. Now, Paul expresses this most fully, and I'll invite you to turn there to in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, which we read as our call to worship. 2 Corinthians 5. He says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." And so we had to sum up heaven in one beautiful phrase. It would be that last phrase of verse 8, to be present with the Lord. Some translations say to be at home with the Lord. Heaven is to be at home with the Lord in glory. Scripture tells us that the glory of heaven will consist of the total absence of sin and pain and sorrow. In heaven, you will bask in the love of God and of Christ. The perfect peace of God will be shed abroad in your hearts. In glory, we will be able to exercise all of our gifts in the service of God. And we will enjoy perfect social relationships with fellow saints and with thousands upon thousands of angels. John Brown of Haddington said that at death, we pass into a glorious place, a glorious company, and a glorious state. This is what you will experience at death. Your souls will immediately pass into glory. But finally, the question remains, what about our bodies? What will happen to our bodies? The Catechism says that our bodies, being still united to Christ, do rest in their graves until the resurrection. And again, we'll let Paul answer this question. If you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul gives a succinct answer to this question. The Lord doesn't want us to be ignorant concerning what happens to our bodies and our souls. Paul says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." So the glorious thing that we're being told here is exactly what Paul said back in Romans when he said, "I'm sure that neither death nor life nor angels or rulers nor anything in this creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so our union with Christ is permanent. Once He has saved us and united us to Himself, once we are justified, adopted, and sanctified, you belong to Him forever. Both your bodies and your souls are one with Him. And not even death can separate us from that bond of love. And so at our death, we will rest from our battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so what benefits do we receive from Christ at death? The souls of believers are at their death made perfect in holiness and do immediately pass into glory. And their bodies, still being united to Christ, do rest in the graves, rest in their graves until the resurrection. And let us conclude with the words of Paul. I'll just ask you to listen. 1 Corinthians 15:26, where we have this great promise that the last great enemy that will be destroyed is death. Amen. Let's pray.